Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was called to a church in northern Minnesota, seems like a long time ago, and upon reflection, I guess it was. Cynthia and I left our home here in Citrus Heights, our friends, our family, including our church family, this one, as it happens, and became what we called people of the tent. Now, no time did we live in a tent. I did that when I was a Boy Scout, and that was fine back when I was a kid. But as an adult, my back is just fine the way it is. I don't need to aggravate it. Anyway, our camping days were long, long gone. But the thing is, as people of the tent, we both realized that we're transients in this world. We're nomads, as it were. We're just passing through. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are in the already not yet state, as Lutherans like to put it. The kingdom of God is here, but not quite all the way, not yet. We're in the kingdom of God, but we still live here in this universe. Now, the first verse from our Hebrews chapter 12, is one that resonated with us, especially with me. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, my version is a little bit different from what Brenda read a few moments ago because I learned it a long time ago, and I don't even remember what version of the Bible I used to learn it. But once I've got something memorized, it's not going to go away. It ain't subject to change. Not with me. Anyway, faith is a big thing. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Faith is a gift of God's grace. And we were certain that He would see us through no matter what came as we went sojourning through northern Minnesota. Nothing like the story of Abraham and Sarah, other than trusting in the call that had been extended. Realizing somewhere down the road that not only had I been called to a congregation, but I had been sent to a congregation. Now, Abraham and Sarah set out for a place not knowing where they were going. Definitely a nomadic experience, setting up no permanent home. They were really, truly people of the tent. And they were always, always looking forward to the city that has a foundation. That foundation and that city created by God. That foundation is God. Now, Cynthia and I suspect you, are also looking for that city, knowing that eventually we'll be there. But we're not there yet. You know, I want you to think about this. Abraham and Sarah trusted God. And without trust, it is impossible to please God or to serve Him. The call of God will never, ever take us to a place where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Now, Jesus tells us in the gospel that you heard me read, "Do not be afraid, little flock." At this stage in life, that's us. We are the little flock. Whether we're the same age as Katie, or old like yours truly, or somewhere in between. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What a promise. What words of comfort from our Lord and our Savior. Now, there are challenges in this gospel that I read, and these challenges demand a lot of us. We who live by grace through faith. Because, to be quite honest, yeah, we live in a secular society, but we're not really members of it. We're members of a different kingdom. And for us, more is demanded by God. More is demanded of us because responsibility is proportionate to awareness. And you and I are aware that the kingdom of God is near and that we are members of it, even though we're not there yet. We know we live by grace through faith. We know it. You hear it or a version of it every Sunday that you're here. And those of you who are here during the week or attending some meeting of Ascension folk, probably hear it there as well. We live by grace through faith. There's just no two ways about it, folks. That's us. And a lot is expected of us. And we need to be aware of the imminent arrival of the kingdom of God, the coming judgment. The future is meant to exert its presence, its pressure already on the present. And to identify the present as a time of very decisive significance for you and I. You know, tomorrow may never come. For all of us, for one or two of us, we just don't know. That's not our call. But tomorrow, the present or the future, is present now. Luke's gospel message has two different senses here. In the narrower sense, it refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In the wider sense, it refers to a time when God's summons enters a person's life, a call to prepare to meet our God. We will all meet him when Jesus comes on the clouds. Whether we're living or dead, we will meet him. But when that call comes to the individual, to you, singular, or to me, we will meet him shortly thereafter. You know, no one can tell the day or the hour when eternity will invade time and the summons will come. We don't usually know the time of our death. But frankly, do date and time really matter? No, not really. Do you want to know the date and time of your death? I don't. It could come any time. But then again, it may not come for decades. Who knows? Not something I spend any time worrying about. The present time is a time in which the Son of God can come at any moment. So how then would we like God to find us? Well, I suspect we'd like God to find us at peace with our neighbors. Neighbors who are near, neighbors who are far, neighbors around the world. I suspect we would like God to find us with our work completed, Life and its loose ends all wrapped up. That's probably not going to happen. We're human beings. Things are left undone, not completed, not even started sometimes. And no one should ever lightly leave a task that ought to have been completed before night falls. You know, I was joking with the first service folks, except I wasn't really joking. I love to read. And Cynthia will tell you I have a stack of unread books that keeps growing. And I often think that, you know, if I don't die until I've read every one of these books, I'm going to be really, really, really old. Especially since I keep adding to the pile. So I suspect there are going to be some books that I have left unread. We'll see. At any rate, how would we like God to find us? We would like God to find us at peace with Himself, not fearing what we know is going to come, but instead rejoicing in it. So now we ask, what time is it? That's not a reference to when my sermon's going to be finished. But it's asked in reference to your location in the day. Am I late? Am I early? You know, we like to think that time is within our grasp, but it slips right through our fingers. It's like trying to hold water in your hand. Time is not ours. It's not ours to have, but it has everything to do with God. The pericope, that section of scripture that you heard me read about watching and waiting servants, takes on more depth for us when we recall that it follows on the story of the rich man that you heard Pastor Scott talking about last week. The rich man who had a fantastic harvest and he decided to tear down his old barn and build a bigger barn and store the harvest in that barn, and he would be set for life. And God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you." Now, it's not that he was rich. That wasn't the problem. The problem is that he hoarded what he had. He was not rich toward God. And by not rich toward God, that means you're not rich toward your neighbor who's in need, your neighbor who has not the things that you have that you take for granted. That was the problem with the rich man. Put it in a big barn and just leave it there to enjoy your wealth and, sorry, you're going to die tonight. And then whose will it be? The rich man cared little or nothing for those in need, meaning he also cared little or nothing for God. So now our charge, brothers and sisters, is to gird up our loins, so to speak. That doesn't mean to be fully dressed and awaiting Jesus' call. But to gird up our loins means to share with those who are less fortunate than ourselves. It means to read the Word of God and think about it and make it your own, because it will make you its own. And what do we read in the Word of God? Stuff that you hear almost every Sunday. Love God, love your neighbor, love one another, do unto others as you would have done unto you. And what you have done for the least fortunate of these, my brethren, you have also done for me, Jesus tells us. And what you have not done for the least fortunate of my brethren, you have not done for me. He also tells us that. Now we can help our neighbors right here in Northern California, right here in Citrus Heights or Roseville or Orangevale, wherever you happen to live. Right here at Ascension or through Lutheran World Relief and the hunger appeal that the ELCA manages, we can help our neighbors across the world as well. We're not limited in what we can do. We're only limited by our willingness to do it, to share what we have, to share what we take for granted. To witness to our faith as our calling. And we witness through our words and actions and through our giving. If our hearts are where they belong, then we know who we are as God's children. And as God's children, will we not want to be busy about living as God has called us to do? Amen.